Hello, this is Cliff Moore, and I'm sitting in for Missy Nielsen this month while Missy is on sabbatical. As KPTZ listeners know, Missy does an outstanding job with her program, Everybody Can, as she interviews interesting and dynamic community members about their life and work, and especially about volunteer opportunities their organizations make available for Jefferson County residents. I'll do my best to make Missy proud, but I think we should all agree that our best hope is that the guests carry the day. And to that end, I'm very excited to introduce Andy Stockton, who serves in several roles here in Jefferson County. First, as the community volunteer leader for American Red Cross, and he also volunteers with the Jefferson County Department of Emergency Management as the Mass Care Coordinator. Hi, Andy, and thank you for taking your time to speak with KPTZ listeners today.
Thanks, Cliff. I really appreciate the chance to talk to the community. KPTZ is a great service and volunteer organization too, so glad to have this little chance to be part of it.
Well, terrific. Let's get started. You know, I've gone through your resume. You've got a very interesting and complex background. Talk about the education and training and professional experience that you have to prepare you for the roles that you have here in Jefferson County.
Well, some of it goes way back, and I'll try not to take too long with this. I was an Army brat, so we moved all over the place when I was a little kid, and finally washed up on the shore of California. And I ended up spending a lot of my teen years and most of my adult life there. I had a lot of curiosity as a kid, and so I took to education. I ended up getting a bachelor's and a master's degree in psychology, and got my counseling license in California. And I did that for, I guess, about 5 years, combination of private practice and clinic work. And I also worked in psychiatric hospitals. And at that point, I got interested in nursing because I met a lot of interesting medical people at the psych hospital. And so I got into a program at San Francisco State that was an accelerated master's. And so I got my master's in nursing and also my nursing license. Let me think. At that point, I worked in an intensive care unit at the VA for about a year and a half, and then got offered a job at San Francisco State in the nursing department. And San Francisco State turned out to be a great place for me. I ended up spending most of my adult work life there. I met my wife, best friend and love of my life, and the two great kids that she brought to our relationship, and they continue to sustain me. I ended up switching. I needed a raise because I had taken on a family. And my dad had been an electronics teacher at the junior college after he got out of service. And so I had soaked up a lot of computer related knowledge. And so I ended up taking charge of one of the IT support groups at San Francisco State. And public entities love to give you side jobs. And one of my side jobs was to do the emergency preparedness planning for the 6,000 students who lived there and the 200 or so university workers that took care of them. So that's where I ended up getting the background in emergency preparedness that I'm using here now.
So now I see that nexus. Very interesting. Well, how long have you been in Jefferson County?
My wife and I retired here in 2016, and we really love it. We feel privileged to be here.
What brought you here? How did you decide on Port Townsend?
You know, have in-laws that live in Ashland, and they come up here for the Wooden Boat Festival all the time, and they talked it up, and we looked around. You know, being an Army brat kid, I was sort of used to moving, and we needed to get out of the Bay Area. San Francisco is a great town, but frankly, I like Port Townsend better. So I'm happy to be here. We both are.
Let me ask you this. In the early months of the pandemic, my recollection is that you were tasked by the Department of Emergency Management to do some planning for a mass casualty event. So what's the status of that planning right now, given the fact that our health officer just reported this week that we're over 450 cases per 100,000 of COVID-19. It seems like that's about the highest we've been since the pandemic started.
You know, the incident management team, since you and I worked together on at the beginning of pandemic, has continued to be activated. And we meet weekly. There's briefings. we're all monitoring and tracking. And, you know, at present, they haven't talked about having overflow. The problem has more been staff. It's not so much the physical beds and stuff that we were worried about at first. So, you know, we're monitoring. I know there's a call out for retired medical people. If you have any interest in doing that kind of work, I'll give information on contacting Department of Emergency Management a little later.
So there's at least one opportunity for volunteering here in the community, focused initially on sort of healthcare providers, doctors, nurses, and others that have been involved in the profession. You're serving as a volunteer on the Department of Emergency Management team, is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. I'm on the incident management team. But, you know, Department of Emergency Management can really, if you're interested in being part of that work in any way, regardless of your background or the amount of time that you have to give, they're very accommodating. So, you know, you make yourself known and we'll give contact information about that. Tell them what you do, what your background is. And there's just all sorts of stuff. You don't have to be a search and rescue person or a firefighter or anything like that. There's a lot of call for help.
Do you, Andy, do you have any specific areas of expertise that you think are especially in need right now?
I think this is a later question that we might go over a little bit more. One of the things that surprised me coming here was the amazing number of volunteer opportunities. When you're in the big urban areas and you're interested in emergency management, for a long time, it was kind of, if you're not a professional, you need not apply. And it's just the opposite here. And so, you know, there's everything. There's need for people to answer the COVID-19 information line. So if you can answer a phone, you would be a worthwhile volunteer. You can join the community emergency response teams. You can get involved in the neighborhood organizing. They need bookkeepers. I mean, there's a lot of paperwork involved with FEMA. It's really almost anything, any skill you bring, if you're interested in finding out about it, you can contact them and they'll see if they can fit you in.
Okay, that's terrific news for our listeners, Andy. And for our listeners, let me say that Andy, at the conclusion of our conversation here, Andy will be giving out phone numbers and website addresses for individuals to contact if they are interested in volunteering here in the community. Is it, Andy, it's my recollection that some of the DEM volunteers also helped with the sort of the traffic and the crowd control during the mass vaccination operation that happened earlier this year.
They were critical. It was a lot of logistics. I mean, those of us like myself who were medically trained, I did vaccinations and that sort of thing. But that worked like clockwork because there were people that handled the logistics, that set up those vaccination stations, that move people in and out. You know, there's endless amounts of work. We have very small staff here. You know, we're a small rural county, not a lot of money. And so if you want to get involved, you can be involved in something really simple or very complex. It's up to you.
Well, and very important for the well-being of our community as well. Andy, let's shift over and talk a little bit about your work with the Red Cross, because you do things locally and also on a larger scale. Is that right?
Yeah, Red Cross. I mean, I got involved. I went to Department of Emergency Management actually after being introduced to the whole concept here in my own neighborhood with NPREP. Had to, you know, go there, and what they needed help with was.
Andy, you mentioned NPREP. Can you explain that for our listeners?
Sure. That's Neighborhood Preparedness, which is a program of Local 2020, the resilience organization. And it's the best place to start if you're interested in getting ready for disasters, because it starts with your own neighborhood. Anyway, I went there and then I got involved in Department of Emergency Management, and they asked me to do the mass care for the area. And I thought about Red Cross, and I discovered that there really wasn't very much presence of Red Cross in this county. And they're a big organization with lots of resources, and I'm trying to get that going again. And so I can talk to people about that, and I'll give a contact email address for myself at the end too.
And the Red Cross volunteers get deployed in major emergencies around the nation. For example, are there Red Cross people working on Hurricane Ida response right now?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, you can choose to remain very local, or you can, if you got the, you know, the health and the interest, you can go to deployments for the fires or the hurricanes or, you know, flooding, that kind of thing. And all the training is free. It's online. You do need to be comfortable with computers to work for an organization like Red Cross, but there's also, so it's both local and national.
So the training you mentioned that's online available through Red Cross, does that go over to the emergency service function components of an incident management?
It's every single thing that the Red Cross does, and they can take you from zero knowledge to being able to do a specific job within Red Cross. And then that helps you in the local community here too. So,
well, I think our listeners would be very interested in learning how they can be prepared locally, but also I know that many of our community members have experience in living and working nationally and internationally, and that may be something that they would be very interested in pursuing. Can we talk a little bit more about NPREP? Recently, the Neighborhood Preparation Group held the community picnics. Can you talk about how to get involved in that aspect of volunteering for preparation?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty straightforward. What you do is you go to the local 2020 website, which is l2020.org, and you can first find out if your neighborhood is already organized. And if that's the case, there's usually contact information for whoever that is. If there's not, there's information on how to organize your own neighborhood. And that can be as, you know, short as one block to some of the areas are quite large. And again, there's training materials available. There's presentations after we get out of the pandemic, although we've been doing some online. And it's a great way if you're not quite sure how to proceed, you understand there's things to be ready for, but you don't really know about it. It's a great place to start.
And speaking of being prepared, what should I do or what should our listeners do to be prepared for an emergency? It could be the Cascadia event. It could be the Hood Canal Bridge blowing down again. What do our listeners need to do to prepare for taking care of themselves in an emergency?
You know, the first thing I'd say is visit the Department of Emergency Management webpage, because there's specific information on all the threats to our community, and you can get that information. In the short time we have here, I think the one thing I would really say as the, you know, the guy that's planning for sheltering after the Cascadia event, you really need to be ready to take care of yourself for 30 days without outside help in a situation where there's no water, the grocery stores are empty, there's no electricity, and, you know, you need to figure out how to do that either by yourself or within the context of your neighborhood, because that's really going to happen. I've been in touch with the people who will respond after that event, and it's going to take them that long to get here.
Andy, I have a couple of large ice chests that I have around the house that we use for camping. Are those good storage bins for water or for non-perishable commodities?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's ways to do this that you don't have to spend a bazillion dollars. And the first one is to figure out a way to store water. And that can be as big as a, you know, 50-gallon food grade drum that you get from Cenex to other smaller containers, because there won't be any potable water for quite some time.
And what about communication during an emergency like that? How would our listeners communicate with each other and the outside world?
You know, there's also a very active ham radio community in this area, and you can find out more about that. The neighborhoods have also been divided up with family radio service, which are the little radios you can buy and not have a license. So my neighborhood, for instance, we do a net check once a month, and the ham radio operators host it. And it's a great way to, you know, be able to do that.
Well, Andy, we're closing in on our time, but let's take a few minutes and see if you could share phone numbers and emails so that our listeners could reach out and follow up if they have some interest in volunteering or learning more about how to be prepared.
Absolutely. So I'll go through these. I'll try to be real clear. I don't know if I'm supposed to repeat. The Department of Emergency Management is jeffcoeoc.org. So jeffcoeoc.org. And the number is 360-385-9368. That's 360-385-9368.
And that's that's the Department of Emergency Management, right?
That's correct.
That's our local county emergency management team.
Right. And that's how you get involved, as you start there. Red Cross, you can go to the national website, which is pretty simple. It's redcross.org. So redcross.org. And their phone number is 1-800-RED-CROSS. So that's 1-800-733-2767. And I think I mentioned Local 2020 already, if you're interested in NPREP. Department of Emergency Management also has information on NPREP, but L2020.org. I don't have a phone number for them. I was also going to put in a quick pitch for OLECAP as another group to get involved in. Early on, they really helped out in the pandemic with the homeless population they take care of. And they're at OLYCAP.org, OLYCAP.org. All of those are great outfits to get involved in. My contact, if you want to ask a local question, I'll give you my Red Cross email. It's andy.stockton@redcross.org. So andy.stockton, S-T-O-C-K-T-O-N @redcross.org.
That's terrific, Andy, that you would share your personal information and all that great contact information as well. We're closing in on our time, but let me ask you this. What are some of the most moving or rewarding things that you've seen or been involved in as you've worked through various emergencies?
You know, I think anybody who's done any volunteering work realizes that you get far more out of it than you give. And particularly in this time, last 5 years or so, when it's been pretty hard to maintain a positive attitude, getting out and helping people can be a big part of keeping on a more even keel. And I've had lots of personal opportunities with Red Cross. I've helped some families that went through a house fire and was able to directly assist them. And also the work in the pandemic with giving people vaccinations as part of our recovery as a community. That's all been very important to me personally.
Well, that's very moving. And Andy, we appreciate you taking the time today to visit with KPTZ listeners. The information you've shared is very compelling. Lots of opportunities for our listeners to get involved. And I just, on behalf of our community, want to thank you and the Department of Emergency Management and the Red Cross for all the support that you've provided to our community members as we've gone through various emergencies and both personal and communal. So Andy, thank you very much for your time and all the best going forward.
Thank you. And I encourage your listeners to get out and volunteer if you're not doing it already.
All right. Thank you very much.